This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
If you have your message notes, you'll have those out, and either the paper copy or the app. How many guys like the paper copy? You like to have that? How many do the app? Okay, how many just store it in your brain? And that's a good way to do it. Right, that's good, too. If you're in a small group, make sure that you're getting also the study guide that you're ready for your small group when you go to discuss this. And jot down maybe some ideas, things that you have thought about, things that you want to bring up, questions you have, a verse maybe that I don't use that you want to use, and share that in your small group as well. This is week two in our series that we're calling What Do I Do When? And we're really looking at some things that we put out to the church and said, you know, give you guys a survey. What do you want to talk about? What are some, you know, difficulties, issues, challenges that you deal with? And what do you do when you face those? Because let's face it, we're all going to deal with something in our lives. You're either dealing with now or you have in the past, you're going to in the future. So you want to know what to do, right? You want to be prepared for those things. Last week, we talked about what do I do when I'm weary and worn out. And so God decided I need to learn that lesson. So I got the flu. Anybody else dealt with the flu? Yeah. So what did he do? He allowed me to rest. I didn't have any choice for a couple of days. I had the one where, like, I slept for 11 hours, which I don't ever sleep for 11 hours. And I slept good. You know, and so I still, you can hear my voice a little bit, but I was forced to rest. I didn't have a choice. I couldn't do anything for a couple of days. It's like, okay, God, I get the message. You're teaching me too. There's times we just need to rest when we're weary and worn out. Now, today we're talking about what do I do when I have to wait? And some of you like going, let's talk about something else today. Let's find something else to do. But talking about waiting is a good thing, so we're going to dive into that. But know our key verse for the whole series is Philippians 4:13, which if you don't know this one, I mean, write it out, learn it during the message today, be able to speak this. So Philippians 4:13, you should know this is what it says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let's say it again with the focus on the word all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let's do it one more time and focus on Christ this time. Okay, ready? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is the real emphasis, right? It's not our own strength. It's you're going to need strength sometime above and beyond what you have. And so it's Christ who's going to meet you in the midst of what we're dealing with. And we're counting on him to meet us where we are and give us the strength that we need to accomplish whatever it may be. Now, we did a small poll at the beginning about Super Bowl stuff. I want to do a different one, and let's just see how it falls in this room. All right, here's your question, yes or no. All right, let's get the yeses. All right, I like to wait. Where's the yes people? All right, I'm not seeing any. How many? I don't like to wait. All right, that's everybody, all right? Because you know if you answer it the other way, you're going to be tested on this right away. A few weeks ago, or actually a week ago yesterday, we did a first Saturday of the month hike, and we left here, and we walked down Midkiff, and there's the Stranger's Acre down there. I don't know if it's a cemetery that the Moravians used to have for people who weren't Moravian. And then we walked from there to Bethabara, which is the correct way of saying it, not Bethabara. And we went down there to God's Acre, which is another cemetery on a hill. And I know it sounds terrible. We hiked from cemetery to cemetery. But there was a purpose, right? We're talking about life. And as we looked at the graves, most of them were about 1750s. And that means they were born in about the 1720s, which is what, 300 years ago. And it was such a fascinating thing about 300 years ago, what life was like in that time. Like, you couldn't be in a hurry, really do anything. You had to walk to get where you're going. You had to ride a horse, but you're not open like in the Westerns. You're cutting through woods and stuff, so it's a horse is just walking. And to get anywhere, you had to do that. You could not really be in a hurry like we are today. Like, we jump in the car, we go 60, 70 miles an hour. For some of you, much higher. And so, you know, you're always in a hurry. And if they wanted something to eat, they had to make it, or they had to prepare it, or had to grow it well in advance, right? If you wanted water, you had to go to either the creek, which is right here. I mean, they were living this way. Or they went to the well, and that took time, right? It wasn't like you went somewhere and bought new clothes. You had to make them, or you wore hand-me-downs or something along those lines. So nothing happened fast. And yet, for our life, we're so used to it, right? If we get to a stoplight and people don't move fast enough, you get a little irritated, right? Anybody like me, you're watching the two side ones, so when it goes from green to red, you're ready to go. Anybody like that? All right, some of you guys with texting. Are you the people that are like, you text and you just look and you're waiting for the answers and you see the little dots are showing up and go, what are they going to say? And if they don't answer back right away, you're going, what happened, right? In the 1750s, when Bathabra was here, they came from Pennsylvania. It would be months before they heard anything, right? There was no instant messaging back then. It was like, I don't know how you're doing. And by the time you wrote it and got a letter back, I mean, the whole world had changed, right? We want things now. You go to a fast food restaurant, you want it fast. And if it's not ready fast, you go, what happened? Why isn't this quicker? We want our hot water instantly, right? I love the way, and it's, I realized I said this wrong this morning. It's not a hot water heater. It's a water heater. You don't heat up hot water. Do you guys understand that? I said it wrong this morning to somebody and I corrected myself. But now they have the instant one, right? Anybody have that in your house? Anybody have gas? So the rest of us all have it stored. All right, a couple of you do have it. You know, it's instant. It's just instant hot water. And I have to turn mine on and wait for it. And I get like impatient. Where's the hot water? Where's the hot water? We want it now. We want everything now. And they're small things. How about bigger things? Things like when you go to the doctor, if you can get in, right? If you can get in right away, that's the thing you have to wait. But we hate things like waiting for doctor's results. And when they say it's going to be a week or 2 weeks, you're going, man, I can't wait that long. How about job openings? Some of you are waiting for a job to open, and you get tired of waiting, and you want it now. You do the interview, like, when am I going to hear back? Is it going to be 24 hours, 48 hours? How long is this going to take? Promotions. When am I get the promotion? And they interview, they talk to you, everybody in the department, and you're just waiting to hear back and waiting to hear back, and it's really hard. Getting out of debt, I've heard it takes about as long to get out of debt as it took to get into debt. Some of you are glad because you got in debt really quickly, right? But for other people, it builds up over time. It takes a while to get out of debt, and we don't like to wait. If you're not married, meeting the right person, right? You're waiting and you're waiting. When am I going to meet the right person? When are they going to come along? When's it going to happen? First house. When are we going to get our first house? We want it tomorrow. We want it yesterday. We don't like to wait for those bigger things as much as we don't like waiting for the smaller things. Now, here's the hard one, I think, and this is what we're talking about today. Waiting for God. Waiting for God can be hard, right? When you're praying for something and it doesn't happen right away, it can be very difficult, and it tests us sometime, right? You're praying for healing, and you haven't seen it yet. You're praying for a family member, and they need healing, or you want them to see them come to Christ. Or you have a broken relationship and you don't see that happen. Or you're just saying, God, are you even there? And you're having to wait for his answer. That really tests us and pushes us, doesn't it? So today we're going to look at that, because here's the deal. Following Jesus, being a Christ follower, involves waiting. And it's been that way from the very beginning. Just dealing with God requires waiting. And we're going to look at why that is. But just know, if you look at like Abram, you know, like the father of faith. At 75, he found out he was going to be a dad. He and Sarah found they're going to be parents. And they wait 25 years. I think about that. Why didn't God just wait and tell him, like, with 9 months to go? It's coming now. You're almost ready. He told him 25 years in advance. And they had to wait for the promise. Waiting was built into that. Their grandson Jacob had to wait 14 years to marry Rachel. Now, I mean, do you think about that? A 14-year engagement? That, I mean, would you think about that? Like, most people are 6 months or less. Some people, it's a year. I've heard as long as 2 years. 14 years? 14 years? That's a long time to wait. But that's what Jacob had to do. Joseph went to prison. They think somewhere between 12 and 14 years he had to wait in prison, falsely accused. But that was the way that God had him go through life. Moses tended sheep for 40 years, waiting for God to move in his life. And then what happened? He was able to be led. He led the Israelites into freedom. Then what happened? He went in the desert for how long? 40 more years, right? Because they kept getting it wrong. And now he's waiting on them. And they keep doing laps out in the desert, right? We can't get this right. Can't get this right. Can't get this right. So for 40 years, they're wandering. 40 years, a long time to wait. Hannah had to wait years to have a son. She saw everybody else having children, but then she had to wait. And we don't like these stories. I'll be honest with you. We don't like them. Go, oh, what does that mean for my life? And you look at David. David was a man after God's own heart, right? If you looked at somebody that kind of got it right, and he made a lot of mistakes, but a relationship with God seemed to be pretty good. David had to wait. There's some idea that somewhere between 12 and 15 years between the time he was anointed to be king and when he actually became king. And during that time, he got chased, remember, and he went through some really hard times, and he had to wait from when the God said it's going to happen to when it did happen. Now, the thing I love about David is he recorded a lot of his thoughts and feelings about it. And in Psalm 13, verse 1, here's what he wrote about this time in his life between events. Psalm 13, 1. If you have a Bible, you want to look at this verse. This is the New Living. He wrote, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way?" Now, in Hebrew, there's no punctuation, right? It's just kind of strung together. So in English, they try to give us punctuation. So here it's, "O Lord, comma, how long will you forget me? Question mark. Forever? Question mark." Some of yours will be like this, "O Lord, how long? O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" I mean, I just love this. And then it's like, did you look the other way, God? Are you, like, in some versions say, did you turn your face away from me? I mean, this is real stuff, isn't it? You ever felt that way with God? God, I sent a prayer up. Did you forget me? I don't know if you're like me. I have texted people, and they text me back, and then I forgot to get back to them. Or email. Anybody ever done that? And then a week later, you're going, oh, I forgot. And you write that email or that text back, I'm so sorry. I got busy. It's not that you're not important to me, but I just forgot. I'm really sorry. It's almost like David is writing to God going, did you get busy? I mean, I sent this thing up to you. Did you get busy? Were you doing, did you forget me? Did you turn your head a different direction? How long, oh Lord? How long? Did you forget? Forever? That's a great question, isn't it? And if you've ever been there waiting on God, and if you've followed Jesus for very long, you have waited on God for something. And we want to talk about why. Why do we have to wait? There's going to be things to remember when you're waiting. And if you're in a waiting period now, this is a great thing to think about. Why are you waiting? And then we're going to talk about what do you do while you're waiting? Like, it's not just sit around, twiddle your thumbs thing. It's not being idle. There's things we can do. So let's dive into that. And this is what you'll talk about in your small groups or maybe at lunch today. There's three things to remember, and there's several things to do while we're waiting. On your outline, what do you do when I wait on God? Number one, I need to remember that God's timing is perfect. Don't forget that God's timing is perfect. We don't have it on the screen, but Isaiah 55, famous verse, talks about how God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. As high as heaven is above the earth. In other words, his perspective is so different. We can see only at our time in the present, our lives. We don't see everything behind it and everything that's happening around us. We can't see forward. We can only see right now. And God's perspective is different. And so his timing is going to be different. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, to God, 1,000 years are just a day. So his sense of timing is different. 1,000 years are but a day to God. So for us, I don't know how you are. I don't like to wait 5 minutes for certain things. Make me wait a day? That's really long for certain things. Week? A month? Depending on what it is? 6 months? A year? I mean, it starts getting difficult to wait, doesn't it? It does get hard, and yet God's timing is so different. He's looking at it, oh, it's hard to get started. We're going, I'm ready to be done. And God says, just wait, just wait. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this, there is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. An appointed time for everything, meaning there's a time when things are supposed to happen. We see it in the universe. We see it in the way planets move, the earth turning. And we see it in events in people's lives. I'm getting excited. March, early March, there'll be a certain day. My neighbor's going to text me and he'll say the beavers have come back. It's happened the last 2 or 3 years. And so there's Groundhog Day in our neighborhood at the pond we live on. There's Beaver Day. And we're watching for it. I don't know how they know March 3rd is the day, but we've checked the photographs that we've been taking and they come back. I don't know. Did they go to your neighborhood in the in-between time? I don't know why they come to ours this day. They don't hang out very long, but we watch and you can see them coming down the pond and this little trail and this little nose sticking out. We have real good pictures to show you. And it's like so cool. The beaver is back. There's an appointed time. How does he know? They don't have clocks. How do they know? They just know it's appointed time. For your life and my life, there are appointed times for things to happen. And God knows it and he orchestrates it to make it all work, and it all has to come together to work perfectly. And that's how God works. One of the more mysterious verses I love to think about is Psalm 139, was it 5 and 6? Or verse 16, sorry, 139, 16. And David's writing, it says, "Look, God, you saw me before I was born. And every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." That just blows my mind. Before we were even born, God knit us together, he created us, and then there was a book on our life. And everything that's going to happen is already in the book, and it shows it all happening. And we don't get the book, God has the book. Now, some of you guys are maybe like me if you like to read. And if it's a mystery or thriller and you're getting annoyed with the author, have you ever turned to the last page and see how it turned out? You ever done that before? You flip through, or you're in a chapter and those things are getting tense and you go, I'm going to cheat. And you look forward. Okay, it's okay. I'm good with the book. I'm going to stick with it. Or here's what I do too. I will tell you some of my secrets. When I'm watching episodic TV sometimes, you know, binge watching something, and I'm kind of into it, and then I'll go, I just want to know what happens. So I go on Wikipedia and I'll type in so-and-so show, season 2, episode 13, and I'll read it all while Stacy's watching. I go, oh, I know what's going to happen. Anybody ever, all right, it's confession time. Anybody else do that? Yeah, we do that, right? We look. We want to know. Show us. And I think God's got his book, our book open. I know what's going to happen on that page. I know what's going to happen on February the 16th. I know when you're going to get that job. I know when that person's going to come into your life. I know we're going to get the doctor's results. It's already there. So God is not guessing like we're guessing. He knows, and he orchestrates it, and his timing's always perfect. It's not late. It's not early. It's exactly when it needs to happen. To us, it feels like waiting. To God, it feels like life. That's how God works. So remember that. God's timing is perfect. Number two, remember this. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. The New Testament's full of telling us this. There's a thing happening in the physical realm where we can see it, but there's something happening in the spiritual realm where we can't see it. There's a battle going on. Things are happening there between the forces of God and the forces of Satan, and it's something that's occurring. And in Daniel chapter 10, there's an amazing story. I wish I could spend more time on it. But it's one that theologians have wrestled with. It's an amazing story. Daniel, who's a man of God living in a foreign place, and he's dealing with some difficult issues, and so he's praying, right? And the thing about Daniel's prayers, they're powerful, and God's listening. And in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, he's praying, and an angel comes to talk to him in answer to his prayer. And this is what the angel says in verses 12 and 13. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven." We heard you the first day. The very first time you prayed, it was heard in heaven. And I have come in answer to your prayer. And here's the mysterious part. "But for 21 days, 3 weeks, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia," which is this demonic force in this area, "blocked my way. And then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." It's an interesting passage. Daniel was praying, the angel came, and there's this battle going on between this angel and this demon, and they're fighting for how long? 3 weeks. And then Michael, the archangel, comes, and he takes over the battle, so now this angel comes and says, "I'm here now," 21 days later. And I look at that and I go, okay, there's some really amazing things going on, but what do you take away from it? You take away from until the battle's won, the prayer's not answered, right? Until the battle's won, the prayer's not answered. So we don't always know. You're praying for somebody, a relationship, and you don't know the spiritual battle going on in their life. And God's winning that battle, but it takes a while. It doesn't just happen instantly sometime. And so we may be praying, and the prayer's part of the spiritual battle. And when it's won, the prayer's answered. You may be praying for something in your life, an addiction. It may be a spiritual battle. And when that's won, the prayer is answered. It may take time. I'm not saying this happens every time we pray. The Bible does not say this. This is kind of an isolated incident, but it is possible. And so you're just praying, and you're praying for the spiritual battle to be won. So know that you're in a spiritual battle. It's for your heart as well and for your faith and your ability to trust God. So we're in spiritual battle. That's number two. Number three, the third to remember is God is building my character, and that takes time. When we wait, remember that God is building my character, which takes time. Here's something about human beings. You probably recognize it in yourself. We want what we want when we want it. You ever notice that? We want what we want when we want it. It's true for every one of us. And here's what God wants. He wants us to be like his son. And sometimes those things don't line up. I want what I want when I want it. God says, I want for you to be like my son, but I want what I want when I want it. But I want you to be like my son. Who do you think wins in the battle? God does. And he's more concerned with our character than he is our getting us everything that we want when we want it. If we got everything that we want when we want it, what would that make us become? You ever seen a child that gets everything they want when they want it? What would you call them? Spoiled rotten. You guys knew this already, spoiled rotten. God does not want you to be spoiled rotten. He wants you to develop character in your life. You ever thought about this? You're praying about the person you want to get married to, but you're not the person that they need right now because you're not there yet. You ever been praying for a job, but you're not the person that you need to be to handle the job? You're praying about getting out of debt, but you're not the person you need to be to stay out of debt. So God's going, I need to work on your character first. And then when we're there, we'll be ready. In the scriptures, we look at this all the time, that with building character, it takes time. Rick Warren wrote this. I think this is funny. When God wants to make a mushroom, he takes 6 hours. When he wants to make an oak tree, he takes 60. What would you rather be, a mushroom or an oak tree, right? I mean, that's kind of the choice here. He builds a lifetime of character in us. Romans 5, 3, and 4, Paul, you know, his character was always being developed constantly, just like ours. He wrote this in Romans 5, 3, and 4. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, when we go through hard times, including waiting. For we know that they help us to develop endurance, right? We can last longer when we go through hard times. That's what endurance is. But endurance develops what? Strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. The longer we wait, the more endurance we have. And the more endurance we have, the more we have the right character. And we have the right character, we have a confident hope that God's going to save us. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? We want it now. God says, I want you to be the person you need to be so you can handle what you're about to be given. So we have to allow him to do that. So as we look at this, God's timing is perfect. It's going to happen at just the right time. He's getting everything ready. We're in a spiritual battle, and he's building our character, which kind of leads to two smaller statements. Here are the two statements. Know this, God is always working while we're waiting. God is always working while we're waiting. You may not see it. You may not see it. You may not even understand it. But there's a spiritual battle that he's working. He is getting everything all arranged in the circumstances. He's doing that. He's leading people. He's directing this circumstance. He's opening that job. He's moving that person to another state. He's bringing that person you've always been looking for into your life, and you don't see that. And God's always working, and we're amazed at the end when we see it. He has been working. That's one thing to remember. The second thing to remember is that waiting time is not wasted time unless we choose to make it so. waiting time is not wasted time. And then I'll add that next part, unless we make it so. Right? There's things to do while we're waiting. It's not wasted if we're allowing God to work in our life. Waiting time is not just being still. It is being still before God. But even when we're still before God, we're building that relationship with Him, being still with Him. So that's for the things to remember. Now, what do you do? I'm a doer. I'm a practical person. I want to know, what do I do while I'm waiting? I can't make it go faster, but I can do things. What do you do while you're waiting? Here's five things. You go through it fairly quickly. But just remember these things. If you're in a waiting period right now, do these five things. Number one, keep praying. I need to keep praying. When you wait a certain length of time, you can see how long you can endure and how long you can keep praying. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 7:7. It says, keep on asking. That's the original tense of the verb used in Greek. Keep on asking. Not just ask, but keep on asking. And if you do that, you will see what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and if you do that, you will find, and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. In other words, you just keep going. Okay, God, I asked this yesterday. I'm back today. Remember me? I have this question for you. I haven't been asked. I'm here. I'm keep asking. God, I'm still seeking. I'm looking. I've got my eyes open. I'm checking to see what you're doing, and I'm knocking on the door. Is it permanently closed? Because sometimes God says no, right? But you're still waiting for the answer. You're always waiting for the answer. God, is that a no from you? Is it a yes? Keep waiting. I'm just keep asking until you say directly no or until the door opens. That's the way it works. Jesus told this amazing story to tell his disciples to keep praying and not to give up. You remember the story? There's a widow, and she keeps going to a judge, and the judge is corrupt, and she wants justice, and she goes, and nothing happens, and goes. And he kept hitting denied, right? Denied, denied, denied. And she couldn't get justice. And finally, he gets so tired of it, he just says, okay, what? Just go away. I'll give you whatever you want. And the purpose of the story is saying, if this unjust judge would do this, how much more your Father who cares about you is going to do it? And so keep asking. Don't give up. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wrestle sometimes with the stories of Jesus. Maybe you do too. And I'll tell you why. There's times where Jesus will just walk in, and you're healed instantly. And God does do this in our life, right? Sometimes we pray and we got it the next day. We got it that moment. Peace is one of those things. I get peace right at the moment a lot of times. Other things I pray, I don't get instantly. Maybe you're the same way. And then you see Jesus walk into the picture and they got things instantly. You go, what's the deal? Anybody else ever bothered by that? You go, it happened in Scripture. I want it to happen in my life. And there's times it does happen. It doesn't happen every time. Why not? Well, here's what I think. In the stories of Jesus, like, let's take the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. Remember that? Jesus goes through the town. This woman has an issue of blood, which means she's unclean for 12 years. She's been going to the doctor, spent all her money. And when Jesus walks by, she just reaches out and grabs his cloak, and she's healed instantly. And Jesus says, I just felt the power. Who touched me? And they're looking around, and they finally figure out it's her. And he goes, okay, you're healed. And he goes, oh, that's so cool. And then I go, what do you think she's been doing for 12 years? I mean, she's trying everything. She had enough faith to grab his cloak. I think for 12 years she's been praying as well. And finally, on that one day, she gets the answer. But I believe she's been praying for 12 years because she's trying everything else. She sees Jesus. She believes he can do things. God can do things. I think she's been praying. Remember the guy who was paralyzed for 38 years? We've told his story before. And Jesus comes and says, pick up your mat and walk. And he does that, and he goes out, and he leaps for joy. Remember they bring in his parents? Has this guy really been crippled all this long? I wonder what's been going on for 38 years. I think he's been praying. I think his parents have been praying. And the answer comes one day, but the prayer's been happening all the time. I think God's saying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I don't like telling these stories sometimes because I don't want you to be hearing 38 years, 12 years, right? But that happens sometimes. Much often it's quicker than that. But if you're in a point of waiting, you should know that some people waited a long time so you don't lose faith. It may happen today. It's just, where's your trust? Sometimes we have to wait, but keep praying. Number two, keep serving. Keep serving while you're waiting. In other words, keep doing good. Keep obeying Jesus. Keep loving other people. Keep thinking about other people. And allow God to work through you. I mean, keep serving, right? Here's what happens to me when I'm waiting. Maybe I'm the only one. When I'm waiting, I focus on what I'm waiting for. Anybody else ever done that before? I want this, so what do? I think about the thing I'm waiting for. And I think about the thing I'm waiting for. I think about the thing I'm waiting for. You ever been sitting somewhere, and none of you do this, I know, but you take out your phone and you look at it, and you're waiting, and you put it down, and what do? Pick it back up. I'm still waiting, and only a minute's gone by. You put it down. Teachers, you never do this, but is there a clock on the back wall, you know, or in your office, and you look, no time is, I've been sitting here an hour, and absolutely no time has been going off. Ever had that thing happen, and you're like, oh my goodness, what happens? I think that happens to all of us, and we keep focusing on the time, and our eyes and our attention are there. I'm waiting, I'm focusing on my problem, and it just makes it go terrible. I think when we're called to serve, it takes our eyes off of ourselves. And it puts it on other people. Wonder what they're going through. Wonder how I can serve them. How can I make their lives better? Galatians 6, 9, and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. I love that. Any gardeners in here? We want to know. So if you have vegetables, we know who to go to. All right, some of you guys, all right. When you grow your flowers, we want to come by your yard. Here soon. It's going to get better. The weather's going to get better. And you're going to plant seeds. Now, when you plant seeds, do you go out that afternoon and see if they grew? Some of you maybe do, because you're looking for the weeds, but you're not looking for the plants for a while. And you probably have in the directions, don't look for so many days. Anybody plants grass seed? You don't go out that afternoon to see if it's coming up. You wait. It takes a while for it to come up. But it's soon you will reap. In due season, we will reap. If we what? Do not give up. So then when we have the opportunity, let's do this. Let's give good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. In other words, serve one another. Help other people. Take your eyes off the seed that was planted. Let that crumb come up when it's time, but let's focus on helping other people because they're waiting too, especially the household of faith. Serve one another here at the church. Ask people how they're doing. Help them out. Take them a meal. Share time. Take your eyes off what you're waiting for, and the time will go much faster. Keep serving. Number three, keep encouraging others. Very similar to that. Keep encouraging others, especially while they're waiting. Let us not neglect our meeting together, says Hebrews 10:25, as some people do. In those days, people weren't going to church. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Send texts and emails, they're great. Come early for second service and ask people how they're doing. Come and stay a little bit late and ask people how they're doing and encourage them. Go to small group, encourage people. Encouragement's so powerful when people are waiting. Spend time sharing stories in life and encourage one another. Number four, keep growing. Keep growing. Become the person you need to be so that you're ready when the time comes. Some of you are parents, and let's be honest, if you have more than one kid, you probably did this for the first kid, but maybe not as next for the next one. And I'm just sorry, it's the truth, okay? Here's the deal. First kid that you have, you get ready. You get the books, you watch the videos, you go, and you get the room ready well in advance, and then some of you pack two bags for the hospital. You had one in the car and one in the other place, so you were always ready, right? And people would ask you, are you ready? I'm getting there, so that when that day came, you had everything ready. Second kid, you go, we're gonna wing it, right? You already have the stuff. But that first one, you wanted to be ready when the child came, and so you prepared, you grew, you got ready. For those that are married, like, I love doing weddings, and I'll get, like, can you do the wedding? And we'll meet, and I go, what are you thinking? Well, this is who we got for the caterer. This is where we're going to meet. I mean, it's already planned out. It's like it's already happened in the bride's mind, especially the husband's going, yeah, whatever. Whatever she wants, we're going to do, right? But it's all planned out, and it's because that day, everything's ready, right? What are you doing today to be ready for the thing that you're praying about? What are you doing today to be ready for the thing that you're praying about? Do you have the character you need to do the job you're praying about? Are you the man that you need to be to marry the person you want to marry? Are you the woman you need to be to marry the man that you're waiting for? Are you ready for retirement, not just financially, but spiritually? Are you prepared today for the thing that you are praying for? Keep growing and become that person. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it talks about growth, most important growth that we can do. And now it says, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. And I love this part. Let your roots grow down into him. Grow. Let your roots grow deep into Jesus so that spiritually you are ready for whatever God has for you. Are you spiritually ready to get out of debt? Are you spiritually ready to be married? Are you spiritually ready to be a grandparent? Are you spiritually ready? Let your spirit, your roots grow down into Jesus. Grow. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Be ready. Just grow. Just allow Jesus to grow you into him, and you will be ready. Keep growing. And finally, number five, the fifth thing to do is keep trusting God, which is so difficult, right? When you're going through a test of waiting, keep trusting. You wake up, no email, no phone call, no healing. Okay, I'm still going to trust you, God. No answer, I'm still going to trust you until you see the answer. This is where your trust is really tested, and trust is a sign of love. I trust you, God. I trust you. Here at Bridges, we have such an interesting story. We started out in a movie theater, but our goal was to have a place to live, like have a permanent place. It's like we were a real church when you have a permanent place. We never really thought that, but people thought that. So we went 13 years without a home. And we set up and we tore down. Those of you who are part of that experience, you know, that was a lot of work. We got here really, got to the places really early, did church, tore down. It was long, long days. And we kept going, one day we'll have a place. We moved from the movie theater to North Forsyth, from North Forsyth to Old Town Elementary. Some of you guys did that. We bought property on Murray Road. We had plans drawn up. This place opened up. We were so ready. We've been waiting for 13 years. We moved in here in November of 2019, and then something happened in March of 2020. Does anybody remember what happened March of 2020? What happened in March of 2020? What? COVID? Oh, yeah. You guys can imagine 5 years ago. COVID time. It's hard to believe. And so we had this place, and we had people coming, and then we had to close it down for a while. And even that, it took a while to come back. And I heard a podcast the other day said across the country, most churches have not come back to where they were before COVID. Not even close. Not even close, most of them. And it's like we're still waiting in some ways. Still waiting. But the time has really caused us to trust God more and more and more as we go. That's what God does. We learn to trust him. Our faith has grown tremendously in that time. Lamentations, such an interesting book. Lamentations written after the destruction of Jerusalem. They're looking around going, what's going on, God? And I love this. And this is a verse you might want to write down. It's going to be the keys in small group. It says this. The writer's probably Jeremiah. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Let me read that again. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. If you're waiting right now, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. The soul who seeks him, God is good to the person who is looking for God to work while they're waiting. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Last week we looked at the word wait. It's the word kava. It's the same word here. That word means to depend on, to trust, to hope, to believe that God is good. When you're waiting, sometimes it's really hard to see and say that God is good. But the Lord is good to those who wait for him. He's going to do good things for you. He's going to bring something out of it. He is working. Don't doubt. Trust. Trust. And wait on the Lord. I want to close with a verse. We started earlier, it's been a while, huh, since we talked about David. And David, you know, had to wait on the Lord. And he says, look, have you forgotten me, God? Or have you left me? Did you, you know, am I going to be sitting here forever? I want to see where his heart ended up. And here's the last verse, Psalm 27. It's a great one, 13 and 14. David wrote this, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness. I believe that I shall look. I believe, right? I trust. I don't know anything else to do. But I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God's good. I believe I'm going to see that one day. I don't see it right now, but I believe I'm going to see that one day. And then he puts this little command thing at the end. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And that's his command to us. I think if David was sitting here, he said, I got this from God. I just want to share with you. Some of you are in a season where you want it to be over. And I think he's going to look at you and the Holy Spirit's going to speak through him. And he's going to say, look, wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Just wait for the Lord. And some of you are waiting for a season to start. And I think he would say to us through the Holy Spirit, wait for the Lord, be strong during that time and let your courage, let your heart take courage, but wait for the Lord. Some of you waited for a long time, and I think he would look at you and say, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord, because something good's going to come. Something good, and I believe that you will see the goodness of the God that you love if you just trust him. I believe you're going to see the goodness of the Lord. So wait for him, be strong and let your heart take courage. And wait for the Lord. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your promises. You have promised us that you will hear us and you will act. And we know that your timing is perfect, but it's hard to wait, Father God. So I pray for the people in the room right now. Some of them have waited for years. Some of them are just starting to pray right now. I pray you'll increase their faith. Make them strong, Father God. Let their heart take courage. And be with them as they wait for you, your presence real in their life, the peace of Christ to guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus, the love that you have for them to just shower upon them, that they see your goodness in the midst of it, even as they have to wait. I pray for answers to prayer that have been lifted up to you and that you heard the very first time they prayed. I pray for strength for all of us and endurance when we need it. I pray for instant prayer when we can see the answers right away, but I also pray for endurance when we don't. Father, increase our faith. May we see your goodness in everything that we do, because we know even when we're waiting that you are good and you're going to show us that. Father, I bless. I ask you to bless everybody in this room. Bless them from your goodness. May they see your face today. May they hear your voice today. May they be reminded of who you are today. And Father, I pray that through all this, our relationship with you will grow stronger and stronger, and we'll love you more and more, and we'll find the joy that only exists in Christ, the joy in the midst of difficult things and good things that you shower upon us, and maybe we'd be filled with that joy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. For communion today, we always like to just stop and connect with Jesus. Romans 5:6, great verse, Paul writing, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. There was a perfect time for him to come. If you know history, you know that Alexander the Great had already conquered the area 300 years before, so they all spoke Greek, or at least they knew Greek, and so the gospel could go out very, very quickly. We know Rome had conquered this area, and so there were roads going over, so the gospel could go out quickly, so the news of Jesus Christ could go out so quickly to everyone. The diaspora, the Jews were dispersed all over an area, so there was already a gospel witness wherever they heard about Jesus, and we understand that just the right moment, not a day before, not a day after, the perfect time for Jesus to die came, and he died for us sinners. And here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus, at just the perfect time, he entered into your life. He spoke to you and you gave your life to Christ. Right? He showed up and he So we take communion. We take communion today. Think about that time that he just brought everything together to speak to you and say, I love you. I want you in my life. I want to be in your life. I want to forgive your sins. Perfect timing of God. And he showed up. And when you take communion, that's what it's about. It's about, okay, God, you showed up and you forgave me. And it was all perfect timing. So after I pray, you take a moment, spend it with Jesus, lay your burdens at the feet of the cross and allow him to work. So let's pray. Father God, you are a good God. You don't always understand everything that we experience, but we know you're above it all. And in your perfect timing, in your perfect way, in an imperfect world with sinners like me, you sent your son. And he was perfect, and he died for our sins. And in your perfect timing, you entered my life and every follower of Jesus in the room. In the perfect time, you brought the message to us so we could hear and understand. Our eyes were opened, and we saw and we experienced. And in this time where we can draw near to you, you are loving Father God. And you answer our requests, and you forgive our sins, and you move our hearts. Thank you for that, and may we experience you in newer ways today and every day as you move in our lives. Thank you for this time. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace. Thank you for energy. Thank you for strength. Thank you for good friends. Thank you for the body of Christ. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, if you're a follower of Christ, it's open for all, and just come and receive communion.